Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Relevant Leader Monthly, a conversation to help equip the leaders of Relevant Community Church to become highly effective influencers. I'm your host, Nick Petrick, and joining me today is a couple of guys that I've had the pleasure of watching make a big difference in each other's lives over the last year. I'm really excited to tell their story and for all of you to learn from them. First, we have Dylan Brown. Dylan is one of our LDPs who serves in our Relevant Kids ministry. If you don't know, our LDPs are our leadership development program, college interns, where we're trying to equip the next generation to become highly effective influencers within the church. So we also have joining us Hudson Gardner. Hudson has been a part of Relevant for a long time. Hudson, how long have you been?
Since 2009.
Yeah, awesome. And he is currently a huddle leader in one of our college Tea Life groups. Just does a lot of leading here at Relevant. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Really excited about today and just telling a little bit more about your story. The reason I wanted to have the two of you on today is because of what I believe is the most powerful leadership. And honestly, when I first started studying leadership, there's one thing that I learned that really stuck with me. I learned that there are two main types of leadership. Now, you can make an argument there's a lot of different kinds of leadership, but the two main types are positional leadership and relational leadership. Obviously, positional leadership is like, I'm your boss, I'm your parent, I have this position and I have authority in your life, so you should probably listen to the things that I have to say. For whatever reason, there could be consequences, however, like that. Relational leadership, there is no position. Relational leadership is, I'm your friend, I love you, the things I say have importance in your life, and so there's influence because of the relationship that we have with each other. And, you know, you guys have had, like, there are some different things that you guys have done with each other, like Dylan, you're in Hudson's Tea Life group. So there is some positional leadership. But for the most part, what I've got to observe, what I've got to see, you guys have really, the influence in each other's life has been relational. And honestly, the influence has gone both ways. Today, we're going to focus largely on the influence that Hudson has had in Dylan's life. Which has been really cool to see. For those of you that might not know who they were, might remember Pastor John Schlechter earlier this year in our Find Your Five series, he was talking about models. And so he used Hudson as an example of a model for Dylan to watch and kind of follow and model his life after. So today we're going to start with letting Dylan, we're going to let you kind of tell just kind of a little bit of your story, how you first came to Relevant, your experience leading up to meeting Hudson.
Yeah.
Did I call you Hudson?
You called me Dylan.
I called you Dylan. Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my name.
That's so.
Dylan.
That,
Dylan's a handsome one. I'm the bald one.
True.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. That's good. We make that connection.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, when I first came to Relevant, even before then, growing up, I didn't have much of a church background whatsoever. I mean, I went to Catholic school. So I attended Mass when the school went to Mass. And my grandma, when I was growing up, was somebody that Jesus was a big part of her life. And even like early in elementary school, I remember when she would come to town, she lived out of state. And I would go to church with her, or I would go to church with my aunts. And she was like the first person in my life who, really just prioritized her faith. And even like since coming to the faith, someone that I can kind of look to in my life also. But that was like in my childhood, kind of my only experience in the church was with her. But in high school, when I was at a Catholic school, definitely was going to Mass, because if I didn't, I would get in trouble.
So for the listener, like, help us to remember, like, or understand, like, how old are you right now? What does that mean, like, when you were in high school and you know, where are you at today?
Yeah, so high school means 2 years ago. I am 20 years old now, and so I graduated, high school means last year. I graduated in 2021, and So I went to a Catholic high school. And so when I was up until, even when I was at the Catholic high school, I really didn't have much faith at all. I didn't have any faith at all. I didn't have Jesus in my life. I would probably be, if you asked me if I even believed in God, I probably would have said no. But around that time, when I was in high school, I started dating this girl named Cadence, and she would come to Relevant. And she always told me about it and was like, Dylan, you should come to Relevant. Because during that time, I was just kind of in a bad place mentally. I was struggling with mental health stuff, some addiction, stuff like that. And she just kept inviting. And every single time, I was like, absolutely not. I'm not going to go to church with you. I do not need that, because I thought I had it all figured out. I was wrong. And so one day I said, yeah, I'll come. And I came to one sermon, and it was during the I Am series that we did here at the start of this year. It was in March. And the first one that I came for was when Pastor Matt was telling us about how Jesus is the good shepherd. And I was like, all right, that was all right, but I'll never come back here again. Went on vacation, missed a couple weeks, and then Cadence was getting baptized. And that was a big day for me, because I came back, and the sermon that day just really struck a chord with me, and I felt the Spirit moving within me. And that was the day that I put my faith in Christ. So then I went to the Next Steps booth, and I got my Bible, as many of us have, and I went to the Renovate lunch a couple weeks later, which was where I met Hudson. He was assigned to be, I don't know what the right word, I'm going to say my guy, we got lunch, and we really quickly, there's just like a friendship that came out of that. Throughout that kind of spring season, towards the end of the school year, we started talking more. We were in the same Tea Life group. We started going to the gym, and now he's my best friend now. So,
cool. So just wanting to give kind of a real quick synopsis of the timeline. So March would have been your first time.
Yeah, first time.
Walking through the doors at Relevant.
Yeah, first time walking through the doors at Relevant.
So when did Cadence get baptized? April, May?
March 20th.
So same month, March. And so you put your faith in Jesus, visited the Next Steps, and then went to Renovate. And so you probably went to Renovate.
I think June. I went in April, actually.
April? Okay.
Because it was that next month.
So real quick, you were taking Next Steps. You were moving along.
I was running.
But in all reality, like, let's say April, you know, was the start of your relationship with Hudson.
Yeah.
And, you know, just jumping real quick, we're in December, and you are serving as an intern.
I am, yeah.
At Relevant, looking at ministry as potential future.
Yeah, I'm going to Bible college next January, which is, like, crazy. It's insane. Yeah, I met Hudson in April, put my faith in Jesus in March.
Yeah. So from I don't really believe in Jesus to I want to devote my life to him in less than a year. So yeah. Hudson, you got to be a part of this. You got a front row seat. What was this like for you?
So at the Renovate lunch event, and for those of you who don't know, Renovate is a lunch for new believers, and we get connected with them, members from the New Faith team, get connected with new believers and help give them next steps. And we kind of become friends with them relationally. That's always the goal, to kind of lead them through this journey of faith. And as Dylan said, I was kind of Dylan's guy. I was kind of, because he was the only guy there who was my age. So I kind of got paired up with him to kind of lead him through this journey. And I remember he was very interested in growing, and he was very interested in reading the Word of God. And I remember texting him and being like, let's get lunch sometime. So he went to Chipotle, and I remember my burrito was completely falling apart on the ground. But
it'll do that.
It'll do that.
Some of these Chipotles are not as good as other ones. Like, that, I'm just going to be real.
Yeah, that one was, it tasted good, but it was on the floor at the end. But but Dylan, I remember he just had such a desire to grow. And honestly, I was shocked because he had put his faith in Christ the month before. And his mind was already just being totally renewed to be aligned with the Lord. And that was just so just shocked by that. And I was so excited to get to know him. And he joined our Tea Life group. And that's where we kind of started becoming friends. And then he also started to come to the gym with me and our other friend Alex, and that was where we just grew extremely close, and we just started kind of pouring into each other's lives. And as Zill said, I mean, he's one of my greatest friends, and I haven't even known him a full year yet.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, I love hearing you tell, just getting to know him, just seeing where he was at, even right at the beginning. And I know from my experience, some of the most exciting things that God has used me to do has been just when people first put their faith in Jesus, they're excited. They want to learn. Mm-hmm. They have a hunger. And so it's just fun. It's just really, really fun to get to be a part of. So we're going to focus our interview today on what it means to be a highly effective influencer. And, you know, leadership is a tricky term, being a leader, the title. And a lot of people view it differently. If you asked 100 people what a leader is, you'd probably get 100 different answers. And so we try really hard to be specific. We want to be specific with what we call a highly effective influencer, not because we think that we have it right or that we have a better definition than everybody else, but we want to be specific because we want to be helpful. We want to help people see, this is what I need to do to be a better leader. This is where I need to grow. This is where I can have a bigger impact. Because honestly, like, we've got a story sitting right in front of us right here of a life that in March, didn't even believe in Jesus. And now, you know, you're impacting others with your excitement about who Jesus is, what he's done for you, the impact he's made in your life. And so, like, I'm just... if you guys can't tell, I'm really excited to have you guys on here, and I'm really excited to hear from you guys just kind of how this all plays out. So when we look at what a highly effective influencer is, for those of you listening, you as a leader, you should have gotten a Relevant Leaders notebook. It's a little orange notebook that we mailed out to all the leaders. There's a few times where we add new leaders. We don't get them on the list right away, and so we haven't got them a book. So if you're sitting there thinking, well, I never got a book, just email me, nick@relevantcommunity.org. And I'll make sure that I get a book to you. But in the front cover of the book, of the Relevant Leaders notebook, there is a sticker with the definition, the four parts of being a highly effective influencer. And so just want you guys all to have that reference, want you to be able to learn that and be able to think through as Dylan and Hudson are talking through their experience, just kind of see how it all plays out. Because I believe, Hudson, you are a highly effective influencer.
Thank you. Thank you.
I believe you are a great leader, and you've made a huge impact in Dylan's life. And so so we're going to dive right in. First thing that makes you a highly effective influencer is that people want to follow you. It's not just that you know what to do. It's not just that you're telling people what to do. It's the whole relational leadership over positional leadership. People actually want to follow you. And the crazy thing about it is that everybody has a choice every day. What do I do? Do I want to do this or not? And so highly effective influencers are people that other people really do want to follow. They're interested in what they have to say, where they're going, and they want to look to them. You know, kind of talking about that models person that we're referring, that you guys were, you know, used in the sermon with. But so I'm just going to start. Dylan, what are some of the things that Hudson did throughout the time that, you know, from April when you guys met until today, what are some of the things that he did that has made you want to follow him?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I was just kind of been thinking about throughout this, like, getting ready for this, and it just, like, I don't know if it's conscious with Hudson, but I think one thing I just recognize is, like, Hudson leads people towards a goal, almost, of transformation, and I don't know if he's, like, consciously aware of that's what he's doing. And one of the first things that really just kind of, like, drew me to Hudson, somebody that at the time I wasn't like, oh, I'm gonna follow that guy, but it's more of like, I want to get to know that guy, I want to go where he's going, kind of deal, of was just, it's actually, he's really funny. not a lot of people believe me on that, but he's actually insanely funny.
Yeah, I mean, I look at him and think, that guy's not funny at
all. He's not funny, yeah.
No, and I get that all the time. But he's really funny, and I think that was just kind of like the big thing of like, this is somebody who was going to relate with you. He was a guy that was going to talk with me, and I mean, one thing that we talk about with a lot of relational leaders, people who are asked, like, why do you want to follow that person? And it's because they care about me is one of the big things. And I could tell, like, growing in the friendship with Hudson cared about me. And he cared about my transformation, my development, and my relationship with Christ. But also seeing him as a model, like kind of like what John talked about, was I saw what a life spent in relationship with Jesus looks like. And that was my first time really seeing that. And it's one thing to see it in like a pastor, because at my age, I was 19 when I first met Hudson. And but to see it in somebody your age and to see what Jesus can do in somebody that's relatively in the same place of life, the same stage of life that I am, was a huge thing. It was crazy to see, and it was so inspiring and just put this drive in me to want to get to know Jesus more. And it was just purely because of what Hudson has done, not only like actively reaching out, but also just in himself, connecting with Jesus through like personal discipline. And so I got to see that as like a model, see what that looks like. And that was... It was just a push to, I see what Jesus can do in someone who's at the same point in life as me. You know?
Yeah, that's really good. I mean, there's, you know, a few key things that you said in there. You know, you said he was funny when you were talking. I was thinking real. He wasn't just putting on a front. He wasn't just pretend like saying what he was supposed to be saying, but he was being himself, being real. You know, you said you knew that he cared about you. That's huge. I think every time we talk about people want to follow someone, we always hear, well, I knew they cared about me. And then, you know, just him being the model, being focused on where he was going, and really like, you know, what you're saying is that he was walking the talk. Mm-hmm. He wasn't just saying like, this is what I should do, this is what is important. But you knew what he was doing, what he was saying, he meant, and he was doing. And so, So Hudson, I know you're a humble guy. I know that hearing that stuff about you probably is like, I don't know, probably even hard to like know how to respond to. But honestly, like I said, you're a highly effective influencer. And so we want to learn from you. You know, honestly, like, what are some of the things that you do? What are some of the things you can even think of just in your relationship with Dylan? What are some of the things that you've done that make people want to follow you?
So Dylan kind of hit on it, letting the person know that you actually care for them. So especially right in the beginning of our relationship, I wanted to be very clear that I am here for him. Yeah. To walk along this journey. I didn't want to take a position of like, I'm better than him. Learn from me. I have it all figured out, because I obviously don't. I wanted him to know that I am here through the whole way. So I remember when he told me that he wanted to get baptized, and because I'm on the new faith team, we help people through that process. And I remember texting with him and talking with him in person about that. And I wanted to be very clear, and I just let him know like, hey man, I'm here for you throughout this process, whatever you need, any questions you have. And I remember I let him know that I'm praying for him, and I didn't just want to say that I'm praying for him when I'm not. I actually remember one night like sending him a text, letting him know I'm praying for him, and like right after that, spending some time like actually praying for him. And I genuinely cared about his growth. And he told me his story, you know, and it was incredible. And I just wanted to continue to see that transformation. So I just wanted to be kind to him and take him under my wing and just be very clear that I will drop anything for you.
Yeah, that's cool. I love how your focus was on him instead of on you and what you were doing. So good job in that. The second aspect of a highly effective influencer is that people want to go there. This can be you know, a lot of different things when we talk about people wanting to go there. But to some extent, you're painting a picture. And because it was more relational influence and leading towards transformation in his life, you know, you weren't painting a picture of something you wanted to create. You weren't, you know, trying to produce something. Maybe you were, you know, but there's a lot in terms of people wanting to go there that I think we can learn from you guys. And so, Dylan, again, let's start with you. What are some of the things that Hudson did that made you want to go there?
Yeah, so when I first met Hudson, I was just finishing reading the Book of John, which is when you get your fancy Relevant Red Bible. They always say, go read John. So I did. And it was cool because I really liked it. I loved reading the Bible. I loved reading, like, from the start. I didn't before, but, like, after I put my faith in Jesus, I just had this desire to really get into it. But I didn't know what else to read. And one thing that Hudson did was that, like, not only did he, like, point to me what he wanted me to focus on and, like, what he thought would be best for me was that, but he also, like, walked through it with me. And, like, whether I was reading on my own, but one of the biggest things that he actually did was invite me into a group of guys that we read the word every single day. And it was starting with 1 Corinthians. And that's where we started out. And I think one of the biggest things that Hudson did was that kind of redirection towards what, not even redirection, but that direction towards what God is saying. You know what I mean? Like, it's here's what God has promised. This is what God has done. This is what God is doing. And I think really that was so important for me early in my, I'm still early. I mean, it's, yeah, like we said, it's been 8 months. Like, yeah. But in those first weeks, even of having that faith, you know, that was so important to have somebody that had God at the center of it. You know what I mean? It was really just like, I could see it through the way that he lived, through the way that he talked, and through the way that he related to me and the other guys in our group, that, God was at the center of it. And that really, that made me want to be like that. You know what I mean? I liked the way that made me feel, honestly, in the friendship of seeing, like, oh, I have a friend that really just, God is at the center of this friendship. And I wanted to be that friend, too. I wanted to be somebody that could redirect and could lead people in a way that God is at the center of it. And that was so important. And that was one of the biggest drives to go further in my faith and to grow closer with Christ.
Yeah. For someone to put their faith in Jesus, you know, they have to recognize just the reality of their situation, where they're at in life, the brokenness, what sin has done in their life. And so, you know, for a lot of people, it's like, yes, I recognize where I'm at and I don't like it. So I want to put my faith in Jesus. A lot of times we hear stories of, like, well, I don't know what to do next. So I just kind of floundered around for 6 months, a year, not really sure what was next. Well, Hudson, you painted a picture of what was next, of where to go. And, you know, from your perspective, what are some of the things that you did that you want to do? Things that are important to you that you focus on that don't just let people flounder, but help direct in the right to transformation, really.
Yeah. So my goal, as Dylan said, is transformation in the other person. And when we talk about being an influencer who wants to help people go there that I always have in my mind is the place of spiritual maturity. And spiritual maturity is knowing God's will, being committed to it and actually living it out. And that's the where I want to get the other person. I want them to go there. And so to influence them to go there, I have to be there as well. I can't just be, you know, I can't be floundering around myself. I have to know where I am. So I have to have a mind that is continually being renewed so that it's aligned with God's will. And so Dylan kind of talked about how some of the spiritual disciplines. So I always make it a huge, the number one priority in my life to be totally saturated in the Word of God. And Dylan has a huge passion for the Word. So he talks about this as well in his own life, but being totally saturated in the Word. And when you do that, your mind becomes aligned with God's will. You know what God wants. You know how he wants you to live. You know how he wants you to relate to him. You know how he wants you to relate to others. And I think when you're there, not perfect, obviously, but when you're living that life, people recognize that. And they see this person has direction. They know where they're going. They are aligned with God, and they're intimate with God. They can tell that this person knows God. And that's always my goal, and I feel that God actually opens up people's eyes to see that in a leader, whoever that may be. And they want that for themselves. They want to know God. They want to be aligned with him. And so,
I love that. I love how you're not just saying, well, I've gotten to this certain spot.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten to the destination. And so I want to bring people to where I'm at. But you saying, like, no, I haven't reached the destination.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still going there. Yeah. And so that makes people want to follow, because they're like, well, I want to go where he's going.
Mm-hmm.
I want to experience it and just sharing the joy of, you know, of the impact that following Jesus and like you said, being saturated in his word, like the impact that it has on your life makes other people be like, I want that.
Yeah.
I definitely want to do that. So
it's like an upward trajectory, and we're going on this together.
Yeah.
We both want to just continue to grow closer to God.
Yeah. And like one of the other things I noticed during that time was how Hudson was leading before I was even there. You know what I mean? There were other guys that he was like actively like investing in and impacting. And one thing I noted right away was that like when we have a huddle in the college age group, and that huddle was led by Hudson and these guys in it. Not only are Hudson's friends with them, but they also trust him. And a lot of that is built on how Hudson leads them, and he doesn't lead them in like kind of what we were talking about, like that positional way of like, I'm your huddle leader, so you're going to listen to me. Cause frankly, I don't think anybody really holds the huddle leader that high.
No.
But what I did see with Hudson was that he was one of the most generous people that I've met. He was somebody that would pull up to the Tea Life group and would ask people before if they had Bibles or study Bibles. And if they said no, he would go out and buy them and bring them to the people the next time that he saw them. And I saw that and I said, I want to go there. You know what I mean? I want to be somebody that loves people like that, self-sacrificially and just like insanely generously. And it was seeing him lead others made me want to follow him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was just thinking that Relevant was going to reimburse me for all those Bibles. No, I'm joking.
You're still holding out for that, right?
Yeah, I gave them a receipt. I was like, what?
Barney was like, why'd you give me this?
Yeah.
So the next aspect of a highly effective influencer is that people are getting there. You guys have already said a couple things that Hudson did, to get you there. This one's important to me. Because I see a lot of people that want to grow spiritually, and then a year goes by and they say, like, I want to, but it's not happening. And we see a lot of times where people sign up for things because there's some emotional story or something, and they're like, I want that in my life. And then for whatever reason, like, it doesn't happen. And so this is hard. It makes it sound like, well, if I could just get people to want to go there, then they would go there. But we know that's not the truth. Like, so many people want to lose weight, but they don't lose weight. So many people want to read their Bible more,
mm-hmm.
but they don't read their Bible more. And so, you know, Dylan, again, we'll start with you. But what are some of the things that that Hudson did that really got you there?
One thing that we've touched on is a lot of, like, what Hudson has done, like what I saw, what I recognized, but like one of the biggest things that got me there that that has helped, I think, reproduce me as a as somebody else who is now influencing people, is that Hudson was in our friendship was also keeping me accountable. You know what I mean? I mean, I put my faith in Jesus, and then he was a friend that was reaching out and making sure, like, if he noticed something in my life, whether it was sin or just a problem or something like that, he would bring it to the attention. And that was something that was happening in our friend group, but just with me too, when it came to staying in the Bible and being on my personal discipline, Hudson was somebody that was not only just like keeping me accountable, but also like making sure that I was doing that. You know what I mean? He was somebody that was playing an act. He was not passive. You know what I mean? He was actively pushing me towards development. And I don't think Hudson was like, oh, I'm going to make a new leader and then I'm going to get on the podcast. Like, I don't think that was
actually,
like
Hudson. That is what I was thinking, actually.
Well, and seriously, we think of accountability as a bad word.
Exactly.
As something that people don't like. But like, honestly, and I mean this in the best way possible, but Hudson wouldn't let you not.
Yeah.
Get there. Like he made sure it happened. And we all need people, leaders in our life that would do that.
Yeah.
So Hudson, you know, just what are some things you did that made sure that happened?
So Dylan and I have talked about this many of times. The number one thing to do is prayer. Pray for the other person. I think for making a difference in someone's life, to bring them closer to Christ and be transformed into who God wants them to be, there are three things you need to do. And the first one is pray all the time. And the second one is pray all the time. And the third one is similar, pray all the time. I mean, honestly,
I can actually remember those. I think I'll be able to.
Do you remember the third one?
Yeah, I think it was.
Say it out loud. Let me hear it.
Praying all the time.
That's it. Yeah, that's good. I lost my train of thought now. But honestly, I can't ultimately, and this is real talk here, I can't ultimately make someone want to do anything. Yeah. I can do all I can do. I can pour into their life, but ultimately they're not going to want to grow closer to God, and they're not going to want to be transformed into who God made them to be unless he is at work in their heart. So I always make it a priority to pray fervently for the other person. And I actually wanted to read this little verse from Colossians that really just inspired me in my life. In Colossians 4, Paul mentions someone named Epaphras, and he mentions something very specific about him. He mentions his prayer life. He says, "Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. For I testify for him that he has a deep concern for you and for those who are in Laodicea and Hierapolis." So Epaphras was praying for the Colossians and the Laodiceans and the people in Hierapolis, that they would stand complete and fully assured in all the will of God. That's spiritual maturity. So that is absolutely essential, praying for the other person and that God does a work in their heart. And then I just continue to invest. I always make it a priority to bring that person to the Word of God. And God, when he's at work, he will use that word to quicken them and to inspire them to grow and to want to seek him. And that's what happened in Dylan. God was clearly at work in Dylan's heart. I mean, I see how much you've grown in less than a year. And that can only be, you know, a work of the Lord in your heart. Yeah.
And Hudson, that's some wisdom right there. That's thanks for sharing that, because that, you know, that could change all of our leadership. The last aspect of a highly effective influencer is that other leaders are equipped and reproduced. Dylan, you didn't just see transformation happen in your life, but you are now serving within Relevant Kids, and you are wanting to equip, reproduce other leaders, not just have it stop at you, but go beyond you. So what made that happen?
So Hudson never gave me a course and, like, sat me down and was like, here's how you lead other people.
I faxed you the course, but you didn't read my fax.
Must have missed the fax.
Yeah. No, I didn't. But what Hudson did do is lead other people around me. And through that, I saw one of the biggest things that I took away from and have taken away from my friendship with Hudson in this last year was something that we touched on, which was love for others. And it was that kind of love for others that inspired, and through that, that inspired him and then me, like following such, to take an interest in the lives and the transformation of other people, and really just created a passion and love for others to know Jesus and to grow in a relationship with him. And it was just really through that, whether it was reaching out to a friend, praying for that friend, praying with that friend, making an effort even when the other person isn't. You know, it's things like that that inspired me and pushed me to not only feel called to that, but actively, like, pursue wanting to do that, you know? And it was, and actually, like, now that I'm in this leadership position with my volunteers or even with the kids that I interact with, it's that, it's kind of those principles that I've picked up from Hudson over the last year. Less than that, of taking an active interest, praying for them, praying with them, and pushing them to become everything that God created them to be. So
that's good. That's good. Hudson, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I just think that being clear that you're there for the person and showing them that. So, like, for example, I remember Dylan and I on Saturday mornings, we would go to the gym like 5 days a week maybe, but on Saturday mornings we would sit in either my car or his car and we would read scripture together and pray. And that was what I wanted to do to help develop him and develop me into the people that God created us to be, into leaders who will go out and bring other people closer to Christ. And I think through that time we spent together, I don't know for sure, but I assume that may have influenced Dylan, because now that's the kind of stuff that he's doing. He's now making an impact in people's lives, and he's taking them under his wing, and he's praying with people, and he's helped leading people to the holy word of God to be transformed. And I see him doing that. He tells me about people who God brings into his life, and he's kind of doing the same thing that originally him and I were doing together. He's taking them under his wing.
Yeah, and one thing that, like, also, like, just really specifically, like, Hudson pointed out in me what he saw. You know what I mean? It was like, he would tell me, he's like, I can see you doing this. I can see you being somebody that impacts others. I didn't recognize those things in me. I mean, I felt calling toward it, but we all doubt ourselves. Sure. But Hudson was somebody that pointed that out and showed me what I wasn't really fully able to see. And like, even when we were in the process of me getting situated into the leadership development program, Hudson was praying with me. When we would be leaving the gym, he would pray with me about it. And, continues to play an active role in my equipping as a leader, but also deeply played a role in me going off and leading others as well.
Yeah. That's great. I want to wrap this up. Thank you guys for taking the time today. I want to thank you for sharing your story of relational leadership. To me, there's not just a few key principles that you stuck to. It's a holistic way of leading. It's leading relationally rather than leading through your position and the tasks that have to happen. And so, you know, I want you guys to hear, like, I'm impressed. You guys are both great leaders. You guys have both made a big impact in each other's life. Hudson, great job. Like, it is, as a pastor, it's a joy to get to watch people. And like Dylan said at the beginning, like, those of us who are pastors up on the stage, we can tell people, you know, do this. But for someone to see someone like them living out the life, because truth is, even for us pastors, they're not seeing us most days living it out. They're just hearing us say what should be done. And so, you know, you've made a big difference, big impact. It's an honor to be a part of the same church as both of you. So, you know, as I wrap this up, for those who are listening, I challenge you to think of one next step that you can take to be to lead relationally, to be more of a holistic leader in someone else's life, whether it's you know, figuring out how you need to pray more, who you need to pray for, you know, praying for people that you can have an influence in their life, because it's worth it. And there's nothing more exciting than being a part of transformation in your own life, transformation in other people's lives. And so, you know, don't let this just go as a cool story of Dylan's life transforming, but use this as a leadership example to where you can become a better leader. So make sure as you you follow on whatever platform that you're listening to The Relevant Leader Monthly, so you can get the podcast automatically every month. And as always, make sure to join us again next month for another conversation helping all of us become leaders who are highly effective influencers.